and welcome to show number 14 of Global Perspectives with Dr. Michael Lightman, where we discuss what's happening in the world today. Hello, Dr. Lightman.
Shalom lekulam.
Hello, everyone.
Today's topic is COVID-19, anti-Semitism, and the 9th of Av, which is a special day commemorating the destruction of both temples in Israel. And it's up. It's coming next week, so we will want to talk about that too. So, Dr. Lightman, throughout history, Jews have been blamed for every plight, every problem that's ever been. Whenever there was a crisis, Jews were accused of causing it. Plagues were often blamed on Jews, and the 14th century bubonic plague, known as the Black Death, was especially notorious for that. Despite having no supporting evidence, Jews were accused of spreading poison in the wells, which caused a plague, and hundreds of Jewish communities throughout Europe were destroyed, their residents murdered and often burned alive. Dr. Lightman, why are Jews blamed for everything, even if there is no evidence to support the accusation?
Of course, Jews aren't to blame for poisoning wells and all these other things, the viruses and the coronavirus, as some say now, and so on. But Jews are in the center of the world, in the center of reality, in the center of nature. And why? Because our nature is entirely an egoistic desire, the desire to receive, the desire to receive pleasure and not to give. And the correction of this desire, for it to actually work the other way around, instead of the desire to receive, for it to become the desire to bestow, instead of it being an egoistic, it becoming an altruistic desire. The change of this desire has entirely to do with the Jewish people. Because from the entire population that lived in ancient Babylon, 3,500 years ago, there were actually all the nations of the world gathered there. And so they started fighting. And then one of them, named Abraham, got up. And he started explaining to them that the strife that suddenly unfolded among the inhabitants of ancient Babylon, it's not just the fight, it's the increasing of the ego, that this is something that they have to fix for their inclination to be the other way around, to rise above the ego. Some of the Babylonians listened to what he said because he was a very distinguished individual. He was their priest. And some didn't. Those that went with him, that followed him, he called them Jews, since he demanded them to be united together. Jews from the Hebrew word ichud, unity. And in general, the process that they have to go through and what they have to reach eventually is love another as yourself. This is what he taught him. And that group that followed him, that followed Abraham, called themselves Israel, from the words Yashar Kel, meaning those that are aimed straight at the upper force, the force of bestowal, the Creator. And all the rest, they didn't accept it. They didn't feel that it's something that they have to do. And Abraham, he taught this group that followed him from Babylon to the land of Canaan, Israel of today. He taught them how to treat each other up to the point where they reach connection, up to the point where they reach love toward one another according to the rule of love covers all crimes. And this happened more or less 3,500 years ago. And since then, that group became hated by all the rest of humanity, and it became separated from all the rest of humanity because their direction in life became the opposite of the rest. All other people were egoists. They acted in order to benefit and gain. And that group, no, they learned from nature how to be good toward each other and as much as they can. And they started researching their egoistic nature that has to be corrected. And that period is called the Egyptian exile. Afterwards, they came out of Egypt, they built their country. Still, they couldn't advance much in love another as yourself, according to what Abraham demanded, and they shattered. And then they scattered from that place in all directions. This is actually what happened to them about 1,000 years after that, 2,000 years ago. And since then, these people, they even forgot what they're supposed to do, that they have to come to love another as yourself to realize this law that the upper force, that the Creator, that Abraham demanded of them. And this way, they somehow existed without keeping this law, without being inclined toward each other for 2,000 years, and this is why it's called the 2,000 years of exile. And this way, they've reached what we have today. And today, they're in a very special, I'd say, subtle state, because the time has come in the development of the ego, of humanity as a whole, of all those that came from Babylon, that all of humanity, all in all, are those that came from Babylon. And the stage has come for them to start correcting themselves. And so the entire world, either by the coronavirus or as a result of their development, doesn't matter how. The main thing is that as a result of our development, the whole of humanity feels itself in a state where it's in a single nature on one planet, in some kind of an integral system, and that it has to start doing something with itself, only it has no idea what. But the situation is becoming ever more grim, severe, and therefore, again, as with all other problems and troubles, anti-Semitism's on the rise and blames it on the Jews. And the truth is that it's true that they blame the Jews, because all in all, Jews are those that can pull all of reality to the force of good, to connection, to love. And then all the problems will disappear, but they're not doing it, and they're not setting an example. And therefore, subconsciously, the entire world feels that they're not doing something that they're supposed to do, as if they're robbing the world of the good that it could have. And so the entire world's against them. This is the reason for anti-Semitism. Jews themselves, they don't know and don't understand this. They forgot about all those things. This was somehow clear to them thousands of years ago, but not now. And today they only feel that they're hated. But why? How am I to blame today that I'm being punished, that I bring harm to the world? What harm? We actually gave the world so much good. The world has advanced so much in science, culture, education to the Jews because of them. We did all that's possible besides the main thing that we don't know about. And therefore, Here we're perplexed. What do they want from us? But really, there's just one thing that the world wants of us, for us to connect with each other and to show the method of connection and an example for connection to the world. But the problem is that Jews don't understand this. And several thousands of years went by, and still, subconsciously, the world's demanding this of them, feeling that they're to blame. They don't understand it, they don't feel it, and they don't accept it. And therefore, there's need to explain this to them, that only Kabbalists, maybe a few hundreds of people throughout the generations, from among the Jewish people, from among the Jews, are trying to explain this to them, and they don't want to listen because it compels them. And also, we don't have the strength, and it's forbidden for us to do this, even a fear that we might be attacked, killed by those same Jews. And therefore, what follows is that to this day, none of the Jews know why are they hated and what's really going on. But in history, this is a repeating thing. After they came out of Babylon, and we've entered the land of Israel 3,500 years ago, and we've built the temple, the country, and the nation, and it didn't hold for a long time. And this temple was destroyed, and it was entirely shattered by Nebuchadnezzar. The first temple and the second temple was destroyed by Titus. And in that day, they were both temples were destroyed at the same day, and we commemorate this day of as the 9th of Av, and the days that are before that, called in Hebrew Ben Amitzarim, the days, these days. And this is what is going on now. And
you answered many of my questions already. One question I do have, following your words, is how can people who were born without knowing their task, their vocation in life, how can they be held responsible for something they have no idea about?
Really? It's a problem. It's a problem. What I'm telling you now, if you talk to a religious person, a religious fellow, or even an older religious person, they won't tell you that this is how they see things. No one taught them. They're taught how to only observe the corporeal laws. They're not taught that we have to rise above our ego in love toward each other.
And also, nobody is taught, not even, not necessarily religious or Orthodox Jews, any Jew, no Jew knows about the role of the Jewish people. Right? This is one.
And, true.
And, so the question is, how can they be held responsible?
They have to wake up, inquire, understand, what is this hate, what is its source, and then, accordingly, they have to act. This process, it doesn't depend on us, we have to act out of this process.
Why were Jews chosen to to bring this this correction, this change of nature from egoism to love of others, why were they chosen? Why not someone else?
In ancient Babylon, there were the 70 nations of the world. They lived among them in a good and nice way. Really, as one nation, as it says, in peace. They didn't demand much. There were plenty of fish and food. And they really lived between these two rivers in a good and nice way. A good and nice place. Until the ego started revealing, unfolding between them. A new era began, and they started fighting with each other. And their priest, Terach, and his son, Abraham, they started finding out, revealing what happened. What's this phenomenon that's now evolving among the nation? And Abraham found out that it's because of the ego. Man's egoistic desire, suddenly, that people started looking at each other with a narrow eye, and then he understood that man's nature has to be corrected. He started talking to them. Most of them made fun of him. And they didn't want to accept him altogether, even though that previously he was their priest. But once he started talking about how to correct the ego, they left him and remained only those, as Maimonides says, but still, he says that thousands followed him. But it's only a small part of the Babylonians, and Abraham took them from Babylon to the land of Canaan, Israel of today, the state of Israel. And so what follows is that these are the people with which he started working. He started teaching them about love of others, about connection. And this is how they advanced. And they're all called the sons or the household of Abraham.
To bring this message of unity, of love of others, to all the nations, to the whole
world.
They understood this. They understood it from what he told them. And therefore, they're the chosen ones. They had a sensitivity, an inner sensitivity of the soul.
So they understood it at that time. But why does it oblige them to give that understanding to the rest of the world? And if they don't do it, the rest of the world hates them.
Of course, yes, because they had to. Abraham told them about this, that the entire matter of love another as yourself, what he's teaching them, that this is something that all Babylonians have to acquire. All Babylonians is all of humanity that later on dispersed, according to what Josephus Flavius says, that they've dispersed in all directions later on from Babylon.
So why do people still hate Jews today? As if the Jews are causing
something?
Because Jews do not help people come closer together, and therefore we're living in constant competition, in hate, and in an ever-growing remoteness between us and the nations of the world, and not only the nations of the world. Jews themselves are in collision, on a path of collision with each other. And so what follows is that our ego is growing from one day to the next among the people of Israel, the Jewish people, and the nations of the world, bittering our lives, and that we still exist the way that we do. Jews are to blame for it, and therefore the nations of the world, they're certain. From within, they're certain that Jews cause harm in the world. Why are they so sure? Because all of us are parts of the soul of Adam HaRishon, that's how it's called in Hebrew, and the Jews have to draw the upper illumination, the force of connection, the upper force from above, starting to connect between them and connecting all of humanity around them. And all of humanity also enter this good and nice connection. And if it doesn't happen, then the Jews are to blame.
I lost you when you started talking about the soul of Adam HaRishon and drawing light from above. This I don't understand.
All of us, and each and every one of us, there is a desire. The desire to receive. This desire is a part of the big general desire that used to be one great big desire, and this great big desire, general desire, is called Adam HaRishon. Afterwards, this desire broke into pieces, and in each and every part, in each and every person in the world, there is a part of this desire. And these are the desires that we have to bring and connect together in order to be as one man and one heart, as it says.
Can you explain what it means to break a desire? Can. What does it mean to break a desire?
It's a force. A desire is a force. The desire is a force. That in the past, it used to be one force, and afterwards, this force shattered, divided into many, many parts. That in the future, we will have to connect them together. Each and every desire that broke off that one desire wants to receive pleasure for itself, and also at the expense of others. We need to teach all people in whom these desires exist that it is necessary upon these desires that are rejecting one another, like we feel in life, that everyone cares only for themselves. We have to teach people how to connect above these desires that are rejecting each other. And again, how do we become one desire?
If a desire is a force, the upper light that you were talking about, is it also a force?
The upper light is also a force, only a desire, or the desire is a force that separates between it and other desires, and the upper light is one force that is capable of connecting all of these desires.
When you talk about drawing light from above, is it some kind of a physical attraction between force fields or?
Ken?
Yeah. That if that person or people that see how bad, how evil, how egoistic they are on the one hand, and on the other hand, they understand, they hear, they learn how connected they have to be in a good way above the egoistic desire that's separating them, then they can draw the upper force, what we call light, that force that used to fulfill Adam, the system that was one whole unified system, that light fled from it. And if those people that bear these desires that are opposed to each other will forcefully try to connect with each other, all of them, then by these actions, they draw light, a force that can connect them, bring them together, and then the light will connect all of these desires in a good and nice way and will fulfill them with its force. And then what follows is that once again we return to be in that system called Adam HaRishon, literally meaning the first man. In Hebrew. We have to listen to this several times and think about it, but that's the main thing, actually. This, the whole of creation.
Okay, we might get to it in the next show as well, if we can get to it. But before we conclude this show, because we're running out of time, we're seeing a lot of anti-Semitism now, as you said, the Jewish people, Jews are blamed for the coronavirus. They are blamed for the racism and the anti-racism that's happening in the U.S. and everywhere. They're blamed for, as we said, every trouble in the world. Do you have a message, like a one, two-sentence message for the Jews that's like a call to action, that if they do this, they will be able to resolve, I don't know, resolve, maybe mitigate, maybe lessen anti-Semitism, because there is no solution to anti-Semitism throughout the ages.
That's true. There's no solution to anti-Semitism besides one if Jews keep what they have to do. They'll connect with each other. This will cause all nations of the world to connect between them too. And then everyone will be united as one, and there will be peace and tranquility in the world.
If they unite, they will draw the upper light that you talked about before?
Yes. They will unite. By that, they will draw the upper light. By that, the nations will come closer to each other, and we will see how all of us are becoming, once again, one nation all around the world.
And they won't be blamed for causing all the troubles in the world?
No, of course not. To the contrary, all shall see the truth, and everyone will live in peace. We've already passed all the stages of scrutiny, and we have reached the final scrutiny in our time. And therefore, it is upon us now to do this, and therefore the wisdom of Kabbalah is becoming revealed, showing us what we have to do.
Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. We do need to talk about this some more, but you've already given us plenty to think about. So thank you very much. Thank you all for watching, and we'll be seeing you next week. Until then, bye.
Tada.
Thank you.